So take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to get back in Galatians for a couple of weeks, and then we'll begin. There's Mother's Day coming up, May 11th. Then we have graduation service, May 18th. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be back in Galatians. This morning, I want to talk with you about something I think that's really about everything that we've been discussing all the way through Galatians. As we've been taking this journey with one another, we've been learning a lot. And the big picture, the big thing is about being constricted as Christians. The big idea of Galatians is about legalism and how it takes us and it strips away our freedoms to worship Christ. That's what legalism is all about. And you're going to see that through the scripture this morning. I tore my page out. Man, so now it's free. It's not bound this morning. But that's what legalism is. And this morning we're going to look at it from the perspective of Paul trying to help the church understand that your ability to be able to worship God is not based on how good you act. That your ability to be able to worship God is based on Christ alone. Your ability to be able to worship God is based on grace. Your ability to worship God is all determined by your willingness to serve, by your willingness to come in and say, Lord, here I am, take me just as I am. And I think a lot of us, we think that we have to pile on a bunch of pretty clothes. We've got to put a tie on. We've got to have our Sunday best on. And we've got to cover up. We've got to mask everything that we really are in order for us to come to church on Sunday. And then when we get here, so many times what we do is sit without ever really worshiping God. And so this morning, I'm going to try and help you see that you have the ability to worship God, and it's something that you need to do because of who God is in your life. So this morning, the title of the sermon is Give Me Liberty. I don't know about you, but that's what I want more than anything else in the world. I want to know that I have freedom to worship my Jesus. My Jesus is not some guy who's so legalistic that he won't accept me just the way I am. And let me tell you something. I'm pretty messed up. There's a lot of junk in my life, but the great thing about who I am is that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my Jesus loves me just the way I am. That the rest of it is fluff. The rest of it doesn't make any difference. When Christ died on the cross, you need to understand, he died to set a captive free. Today, I want you to know that you're free in Christ. There are really three things that I want to submit to you this morning. We talk about give me liberty. Three things that I want to submit to you, and it's all based on this. If Christ has made you free. If Christ has made you free. So remember that. Turn your bulletins over. If you want to follow along, great. If you don't, just listen this morning, because my prayer is that you understand that you don't have to be bound. If you're a Christ follower, then Christ loves you just like you are. That you don't have to change for everybody else. You change because of what God has done in your life. So with that, I want to ask that you honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Listen to the scripture. This is what Paul says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempted to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But, listen to this, but faith working through love. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, today, in the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus, I just ask that you would allow your word to go forth today and not return void. Lord, that that you would allow me to preach your word boldly, powerfully, and confidently with passion, compassion, power, and zeal, with the authority of heaven, Father, that your word will go forth, that it will begin right now to resonate, to light on the hearts of those who've gathered together with us, that you would speak boldly to them, that they would understand right now how powerful a God you are, and that when you died for our sins, you died for all of them. If we would just repent of those sins, confess those to one true God, acknowledge our need for a Savior, and trust you, King Jesus, to be Lord of our lives. Father, if we would do that, it's so liberating to be able to know that you love us right where we stand. And Father, that as we get to know you more, as we learn more of your word, then we just become so much freer to worship you every single day, every single moment of every single day. And Father, I just ask that you would begin the process of drawing us to yourself, even now, asking it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things that I want to share with you today. I think when we look at the book of Galatians, remember what Paul is pouring into the churches of Galatia. There were several churches that Paul was writing to. One of the big things that was going on is when these churches were set up, when they were begun, all they did was worship God. It didn't make any difference what was going on in their lives. When they gathered together, everything else was forgotten about. They came to hear the word proclaimed. They came to so that they could fellowship with one another. They had lots of meals with one another. They ate pork. They drank a little bit of wine. I'm telling you, it's what we talked about that in our Sunday schools this morning. They did these things together. All of this is, we've already discussed it. But what happens is, like so many in the world we live in today, there were some pretenders who came into the church, and their idea of being obedient to Christ meant that you had to be circumcised and that you couldn't eat certain foods and that you couldn't drink certain things, all of these things. But what Paul did is when he came in, what Peter did, when he came into these churches at first, he was sitting there, he was eating with the Gentiles, everything they ate, he was drinking everything they participated in, he was fellowshipping with them. But then when these certain Jews came in, they stopped associating. Peter did. He didn't want to be over here in the same table with these guys. Do you remember Jesus' ministry? You know what Jesus did, right? He went right down where the sinners are. He went and he sat down at the table the sinners sat at. He ate with the sinners. He drank with the sinners. That's what Jesus did. See, that's the Jesus that I know. That's the guy that I worship. That's the Lord who died on a cross for me. And we gather together week after week and we don't understand the freedoms we have in Christ, that we're not bound. Listen to me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If you're a child of God, you need to act like a child of God. But also understand what I'm saying, that we put so many restrictions. We say that you can't be saved if this hasn't happened in your life, or you can't be saved if that hasn't happened in your life. Let me tell you about salvation. It's based on you and God. It's based on what Jesus did on Calvary's Hill. And so as we get to the text this morning, I want you to see what was going on is they were trying to be good at being good. That's what was happening here. They were focusing on what they had to do to be good enough to earn their entrance into heaven. They were worried about what everybody else was going to think about them. And Paul said, you need to stop doing that. You need to understand what grace is really all about. And that's the reason for the title this morning, Give Me Liberty. And so I want to share with you this morning, if Christ has made you free, three things. Number one is this: your worth is based in Him. If Christ has made you free, your worth is based in Him. What we do is we walk around trying to please this person or trying to please that person, and we think that it's going to get us just a little bit closer to where we need to be in heaven one day. We think that it's going to help us attain some high standing with God. We think that how we do these things is going to really make an impact on our eternal significance. I want to tell you something. My eternal significance is not based on anyone except my Jesus. Can I say that he's my Jesus? Can I say that I know he's my Jesus because I was there when he saved me? I know he's my Jesus for so many reasons, and we'll talk about some of them in a minute. But your worth is not based on the people around you. And we're constantly trying, students, we're constantly trying to do this. Peer pressure, it draws us in, and we try and find our worth in everything that this group is doing, or everything that that group is doing, or everything that one group or another group isn't doing. We try and find our worth in them. And I want to tell you what happens is, this is, the Bible says in Revelations 12 verse 10, it says that Satan, he is the accuser of the brothers. And what he's doing is he is deceiving us to believe that you can't be saved just because the blood was shed. The accuser is saying that you're never going to be good enough, and that God can never love you the way you are. And what I want you to know today is that you need to forget about the accusations that the world is making against you, and you need to find your worth in Jesus Christ. We walk around, we say, well, what's wrong with me? We hear people say, you're never good enough to get into heaven. We hear people, they're always whispering something. Well, what's the matter with them? Well, what's wrong with that person? Well, why are they living like this? Well, how come they're doing that? And we listen to these things, and then it just bogs us down. But I want to tell you something. I'm so glad that I've got a Savior who loves me just the way I am. I want to tell you what needs to happen for you today. Instead of worrying about what everybody else is thinking, what everybody else is doing, you just need to connect to the vine. You just need to connect to the one that it really matters if you're connected to. So this is what John 15 verse 5 says. He says this. He says that I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Listen to what Paul was saying right here in Galatians. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberties which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. And so the big picture is this. It was about your involvement in your own salvation. It was about you just absolutely refusing to believe that God's grace is sufficient for you. And what you need to do is you need to stop listening to this corner, and you need to stop listening to that corner, and you just need to get connected to the vine. And this is what he says, I am the vine. Jesus did. See, your worth is found in him. That's what verse 1 says. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom, the liberty, which Christ has made us free. Listen to me. Christ is the one that died on the cross. Christ is the one that was buried in a borrowed tomb. Christ is the one who rose on the third day. Christ is the one who ascended into heaven, who is now mediating on your behalf at the right hand of the Father. Christ is the one who did all of that. Nobody else. Christ did it all. Christ. Your worth is based on Jesus. Your worth is based on your relationship with him. Your worth is based on how you connect with the vine. I am the vine. Here's the thing, though, about being connected with the vine. Listen to me. When you're connected to the vine, ultimately what happens, because of the root of the vine, because of how it's nourished, what happens is when there's a branch connected with the vine, that branch bears fruit. When you look at that particular branch, you're able to see that it's producing something that's phenomenal. I don't know about you, but I love, Brad, you've got grapes in your yard, don't you? Is there anything any better for you to be able to, in the summertime when those things are ripe, is there anything more pleasing and refreshing to go up to those that are rooted in the vine and pluck one off? And it's sweet, sweet, isn't it? Do you know why his grapes are able to produce? Because they're attached to the vine. Do you know why it's important that they be attached to the vine? Because the vine is rooted in fertile soil. Can I tell you that Jesus is rooted in fertile soil, and your worth is based on who you are in Him. Who are you? What we do is, all of us, how many of you feel pretty good about yourself today? You know, how many, come on, be honest, you feel pretty good, don't you? Isn't it great? You know, one of the things that we do, we feel good about ourselves. We get up, we come to church, and we feel good, and we say, I've come to church today. And then we get our envelopes, and we look, and we say, yeah, I read my Bible today, and we check it. And then we say, yeah, I'm in Sunday school today, and we check it. And we feel so good about all of this, because it's a legalistic mindset, and it's good that you read your Bibles every day. Can I say, can we get an amen? It's good that you're in Sunday school. It's where we learn so many things. Can I get an amen? It's good that we're connected and we're learning these things. But I also want to tell you that it can become so routine that we're literally just going through the motions. And we're just repeating something that we've done all of our lives without any real connection to the vine. I don't want my relationship with King Jesus to be routine. I want my relationship to be anything but routine. I want my connection to the vine to me today. I'm excited about God, but when I wake up tomorrow, even though it's Monday and I'm not here in church worshiping with you, I'm still going to be excited about the vine. Why? Because I'm connected. Because I'm there with Him, rooted in the foundation, the fertile soil. Isn't it good to be rooted? It's good. It's good to be rooted. I want to tell you something else. If you agree with something that's said, it's also, regardless of everybody around you, it's okay for you to say amen out loud. It is. It's okay for you not to be afraid to shout, preach on, preacher. It's okay for you to get excited about the Word of God. It's okay for you to do these things. But we sit. This is the watch. We sit. And we listen. Listen, I'm not going to say anything for a few seconds. How uncomfortable do you get? Just
I don't like that.
Preach on.
Yeah. You see? But we're so guilty of doing that. I want to share some scripture with you. Just write these down, because your relationship, your connection with the vine, it really is important to who you are. And so I want to say this. Based on the Word of God, you can say these things about you. Listen to me. Number one is this. In Christ, I am accepted. Write this scripture verse down. Ephesians 1 verse 6. In Christ, I am accepted. Say that with me. In Christ, I am accepted. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I sure pray you do. Listen to the next one. 1 John 3, verse 3. I am a child of God. Why? Because of the vine. I'm a child of God. Say that with me. If you're connected to the vine, say this. I am a child of God. Do you believe that? What about this? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. I have been bought with a price, and I belong to God. Do you believe that? I've been bought with a price. Listen, it wasn't just for me that He died on Calvary's Hill, but I've been bought with a price. You, if you're in Christ and you've been bought with a Christ, Ephesians 1 verses 3 through 8, I have been chosen by God and adopted into His family. God chose me. How did He do that, preacher? How is it that God chose you? Watch this. I showed you. I told you. How many times? 4 years I've been here, and the one thing I've done consistently is preach the cross. This right here is where it is. So, if you're connected to the vine, then you can never be separated from what God did on the cross. So give me liberty. Amen? I want that. I want that freedom to worship freely without restriction or hindrance. Colossians 1 verse 13. I have been redeemed, and all my sins are forgiven. listen to me. I've been redeemed, and all my sin is forgiven. Not just some of them. Not just the sin that I committed last week or last year or when I was 8 years old, but all of my sin. All of my sin, yesterday, today, and forever, my sin is forgiven. I'm going to tell you, that's what we've got to be able to see in Christ. Listen to this one. Hebrews 4, verse 14. I have a direct access to the throne of God. I don't need you to take it to God for me. I desire that. I desire that. Listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I can do it. You can go to God all by yourself. You don't have to depend on me. I covet the opportunity to pray for you. But you can go to Him and you can speak with Him just as though He were your brother or your father, or just as though you were in that relationship with someone that you trust and you communicate to. You know, you can take your worries to God just like that. All of them. Not just some, but all of them. Let me go on and get some of these out of the way. I'm free from condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1. I'm free from condemnation. The next one, Colossians 3, verse 14. I'm hidden with Christ in God. Philippians 3, verse 20. I'm a citizen of heaven. Can I get an amen? I'm a citizen of heaven. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know where the church is? The church is here this morning because you and I have gathered together. But I want to tell you something else. The scripture says where two or more have gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. I can meet on the playground. And if there's two or three of us there agreeing on something in Christ's name, then we are the church.
Yeah, that's right.
The church. It's us. Continue on. Ephesians 2 verse 10, I'm God's workmanship. And then, what about this one? What about Philippians 4, 13? Isn't that a great verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so these things, based on the Word of God, you can say these things about you, about yourself. If you're in Christ, then your worth is based in Him. Your worth is based in Him. And I pray in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd be able to say that today. Where is your worth based? Today, where is your worth based? As a Christ follower, where is your worth based?
In Christ.
Jesus. Are you guys awake? Listen. Don't get mad at me, but listen to me. In Christ, where is your worth based? I just told you. Can we say it? Where's your worth based, church?
In Christ.
Was that hard, or did I make it harder than it had to be? It's in Christ. Listen, your worth is based in Christ. My worth is based in Christ. Our worth is based in Christ. The next thing that I want to submit to you, I hammered on that one long enough. If you're in Christ, number two is this. You're in constant need of grace. I want to clarify it, but you fill those blanks in. If you're in Christ, you're in constant need of grace. There are a lot of different groups that teach that you can lose your salvation, and I'm not going to beat any of those up. I want to share with you a few of them. You know, the Nazarene, Methodist, Anglican, Historical Lutheran, some Pentecostal, some charismatic churches, but the number one main group that this originated from is the Roman Catholic Church. Even though this isn't found in Scripture anywhere, they believe that you can lose your salvation, and it's based on venial sin, which is minor sin, or major sin. That there's two categories that they base this on. Now, a venial sin or a minor sin is a lie. Things like that. That's what this minor sin is. And they don't think that you can lose your salvation over a lie or some small sin like that. But mortal sins is what the major sins are. If you murder, if you commit adultery, if all these things like that are called major sin, and they believe that you can lose your salvation based on those kind of sins. Matter of fact, let me share with you as far as the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Part 3, Section 1, Chapter 1, Article 8, Paragraph 4. Did you get that? If you need to know it, just get with me after the service and I'll give that back to you. But I want to quote something. This is what the Catholic Catechism says. It says, mortal sin is a radical possibility of human freedom, as is love itself. It results in the loss of charity and the privation of sanctifying grace. That is, of the state of grace. If it is not redeemed by repentance of God's forgiveness, it causes exclusion from Christ's kingdom and the eternal death of hell. Let me ask you a question. At what point are you going to lose your salvation? Based on what you know about God's Word. What? But so many think that I am. And then if I've lost my salvation, how is it that I'm going to get my salvation back? If salvation is based by works of the flesh, then how is it that I'm going to lose my salvation and then regain my salvation? See, that's not at all what our salvation is based on. And I need you to understand this morning, I'm not criticizing these groups, but this is what I am saying. Listen to me. They go their way, and I'll go His way. That's what I believe about that. And I'm so thankful. Listen to me. I'm so thankful that I can say this. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I'm so glad that my worth isn't based on you and your relationship with God, but my worth is based on my relationship with my Redeemer who saved me from my sin and myself. My Redeemer did that for me. That's my Jesus. And my Jesus desires to do that very same thing with you, because I've been washed in the blood. I've not been sprinkled. I've not been spit on. I've been washed in the blood. When you're washed in something, you're cleansed from the filth that is on you. And I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you're in Christ, get this morning, that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. Your sins haven't been covered, friends. Listen to me. They've been removed. I need you to know that. Baptists, we don't really have a creed, but I want to share something out of the Baptist Faith and Message. This is Article 5, but about salvation and the possibility of being able to lose my salvation. We are in constant need of grace, and I'll get to that in a minute. But here's what we believe. Whether I was a Baptist or not, let me tell you this. This is what I believe. Listen, those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by His Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace. Amen. But shall preserve till the end. Believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their grace and comforts, and bring reproach to the cause of Christ and temporal judgments on themselves. Yet they shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Yeah. You know what that means? It means my past is not going to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. My present is not going to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. My future is not going to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I am firmly planted and established on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and no one, no person, no thing is going to be able to separate me from the love of God. Nothing is going to be able to do that. I am His, whether you want me to be or not, whether the other groups in the world want me to be or not. I belong to King Jesus. And in Christ, you belong to King Jesus. There's a lot, again, I've already shared, believe that you can lose your salvation. And they say, well, I know a guy who used to be real faithful in the church, and he came in and he taught Sunday school, and He came and he worshiped and he lifted his hands up and he hollered, amen. He was that guy. I mean, he came and he sang in the choir. He did all of these things, but then got kind of sidetracked. Something happened in his life and he fell from grace. He lost his salvation. Then he died and I think he went to hell. You know, a lot of people, they think that. I want to tell you, I heard a seminary professor say this, and I believe it, and I like it, but the faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty from the first. Don't you believe that? I believe that. If your faith in Christ fizzles before the finish, then it was faulty from the first. Yeah, you really didn't know what grace was all about to begin with. And that's why I can stand before you as a young man who was saved in 1982 at the age of 8 years old because of a grandmother who poured into me, who thought enough to me to tell me about Jesus. And when I began to question, she began to pour into me. And then she got me connected with the pastor. And then I went and talked with him. And then I began to understand what sin is. And then I repented of my sin. And then I invited Jesus into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And when I did that very moment, Christ saved me from my sin and self. Christ did that for me. But here's the thing about why we're always in need of grace. Why, preacher, are we always in need of grace? Because we're always sinning. Always sinning. You're going to leave here and you're going to be mad because I preached longer than you wanted me to. You're going to leave here and you're going to be mad because you paid more for lunch than you thought you ought to pay. Or they were longer getting to you than you wanted to wait. You know, you can go over here to McDonald's and it's speed, speed, speed. But if you step right over into the next parking lot, it's going to take you 15 minutes for you to get your meal. But I'm going to tell you something. I would rather wait the 15 minutes because I like that taste a little bit better. I'm saying, but we get mad over things that mean nothing. We get upset over things. We don't focus on the right things. And the right thing is about my relationship with my Jesus. Amen. That's why I love this verse. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." How have I been saved? By grace through faith. Then the scripture says, and it's not of yourselves. You can't do anything to save you. It's a gift of God. I love gifts from God, don't you? And it's a gift of God, not of works. So, or at least anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But my thing about the bigness of God is that if you believe that He only can save you from little sins, then you believe God is a little God. I believe God can save you from all sin, big, little, medium size, whatever they are. So much so, this is what Charles Spurgeon says once. He says, if sin is small, then your Savior is going to be small. But if your sin is great, then your Savior will be great. And can I tell you, my Savior is great because I know my sin is great. I do. Paul said, I'm the chief among sinners. And I want to be able to stand before you and say that I'm not perfect, but my Savior is. And if you can't get excited about that, because I know you're not perfect, please stop trying to be. Just know who you are in Christ. And then there's a pastor. Maybe you've heard this expression. I shared a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. There, but for the grace of God, go I. There, but for the grace of God, go I. It was a pastor. His name was John Bradford. He was a Protestant reformer in England in the 16th century. And what was happening is that people were going to the gallows for their stance, for their biblical stance, for what they believed about God. Literally, they were going to the gallows, and he would walk by in England, and he would see them there at the gallows. And literally, what he did is this statement was made. It says, "There, but for the grace of God, go out. If it were not for the grace of God, I would be on those gallows." It was almost self-prophetic, because in the end, he was dragged, because of his biblical stance, he was dragged out of the Tower of London, and he and another pastor, John Leaf, were taken to be burned at the stake. And you want to talk about security? Listen. Listen to what he says as the flames were beginning to lick up around them. He said, looked at John Leaf and he said this, "Be of good comfort, brother. We shall enjoy a fine supper with the Lord this night." Man, that's good. But, yeah, it doesn't matter. What matters is you find your worth based on Jesus. What matters is you understand that you're in constant need of grace because you're constantly messed up, even all the way to your deathbed. If you're in Christ, that's the key here, is in Christ. It's a relationship you have with the Savior. And know that. I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for my Savior's grace. If it wasn't for my Savior's grace, then I would have been gone a long time ago. There'd been no hope for me. I'm so thankful for my Savior's grace. And the last final thing that I want to say to you very, very quickly is this. If you're in Christ, then your faith is expressed in love. It's, how do we know? The way you live your life. It's not a talk about proving the case of Christianity. If you want to do that, then there's a book, The Chase for Faith. Lee Strobel is the author of that. Let me encourage you to get that and read it. But it's not that at all. It's this. John 13, verse 35. Jesus said this. It says, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Yeah, love for one another as believers, but also when you walk out these doors, it's love for those that are outside the wall of the CLC or outside the reach of Christ at this moment. This is where you become the hands and feet of God. This is where it gets real. Salvation gets real. This is where when people see you, your concern isn't about your comfort. Your concern is about their lostness. That's what has to happen for God's kingdom to explode and to be furthered, is you're so caught up and worried about why they're lost that we're trying to reach them right where they are. That's where we've got to be. We've got to be worried about them. I love this in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 2 and 3. Listen to this. This is a beautiful chapter in Corinthians. It's called the love chapter. But listen to it. It says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Nothing matters if you don't have love where people are able to see Christ through you. In order for that to happen, then Christ must live in you. And so the question is, do you have that gift of prophecy? Do you have the gift of understanding all mysteries? Do you have knowledge? Do you have all kind of faith so that you can say to mountains, move from here to there? Do you have that? Praise God. Let me ask you this. Do you have love? Let me ask you a simple question. If you... some reason or another, you were put on trial for being a Christ follower, you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to support you being guilty? My prayer is that you're able to say yes. My prayer is that you're able to say, "I've lived my life in such a way that my greatest concern is about the people that are outside the love of Christ. My greatest concern isn't for me or for myself, but my greatest concern is that my next door neighbor knows Jesus, or the person down the street knows Jesus, or the person across the road knows Jesus, or the person in the projects know Jesus." That has to be our greatest concern, that these people know Jesus. So if people were to look at you, what are they going to see? Your faith expressed in love. In closing, how many of you know about the Statue of Liberty in New York City. Beautiful thing. How many of you have seen it up close and personal? A couple of you have. A few of you have. I haven't. But I did a little research. I think it's amazing. I did know that it came from the French in the 1800s. It arrived in 1885. It was completed. But do you know they built it completely up in France, and then they tore it down. They packaged it in 214 separate containers, separate crates. And then they shipped it across the Atlantic to the United States. And on their journey, they entered into some rough waters. It was stormy, and the vessel was very, very heavy, and the captain began to shout to the workers, to the crew, throw off everything of weight, get it gone, everything but liberty. Her name is Libertas. That is her name. It means liberty or freedom. And the captain is shouting, he's hollering, he's screaming, get rid of everything but save Libertas. Save Libertas at all costs. And then the ship continued to be beat by the stormy waves. And the crew began to come to the captain and say, Captain, we're still about to sink. Do you suppose we should get rid of the crates? And the captain looked at the crew and he said, we will not get rid of Libertas. We will deliver these crates for the good of mankind. Because of what the statue really stood for, it stood for freedom and it stood for liberty. And I think for you and I today, we've got to come to this point where we say, no, we'll sink before we throw liberty away. What about you? Are you willing to throw your freedom in Christ away? Just so that when you go look in the mirror, you feel good about yourself today. Because, you know, we're good. We can don a mask. I want to tell you something. Christ accepts you just the way you are. He looks past the masks we wear. And so today, hopefully, prayerfully, you see the big picture. This is what grace is all about. We understand, this is the key to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast in the freedom by which Christ has made us free. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to stand fast in Christ. Amen. I'm tired of being in bondage to the yoke of sin. I'm tired of being enslaved to the law. I'm tired of us judging somebody else because we don't think they're good enough to get to heaven. I'm so thankful that my worth is based on Jesus. I'm so, so thankful that God blesses me with grace after grace. I'm so thankful that God's grace is enough. I'm so thankful that my faith can be expressed in love. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what restrictions might be keeping you from loving Jesus. But I want to ask that you would forget about all of those rules that the world makes up. And I want you to look at the cross today. You see that this is a replica. You understand that, right? It's just a symbol of Christ who died on it. But I want you to look at it. I want you to follow me for just a minute. Look at this. He would have hanged. Very likely that he had ropes tied around his forearms, that the nails pierced through his wrists in between those bones there. Reality is he wouldn't have had a footrest. His feet would have been pointed down, stacked on top of one another with a nail resting in the middle of his feet. My Jesus died an excruciating death. We showed a video last week, and you know, it was a scene from The Passion, and I'm sure a lot of you grimaced and you thought, why did they show that? I want to tell you, the reality of the cross is much worse than what you've seen with The Passion. The reality of the cross is my Jesus hanging there and him dying an excruciating death, him literally suffocating, and him looking out at the people who were there, and God, Jesus himself saying, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. And then right before he breathed his last, he said, it is finished. Then they pulled him down from there, and they placed him in a borrowed tomb. We celebrated Easter last week, the resurrection. And I want to tell you something. My Jesus is not still on the cross. My Jesus is not still in the tomb. My Jesus is alive and well and is at the right hand of the Father right now interceding on my behalf. So that when the Father looks at me, what he sees, listen, is my righteousness through the blood of Jesus. And if you're tired of playing games with God, then today should be the day of salvation for you, where you can acknowledge that you know you're not perfect. Don't wait to receive Christ as Savior until you think you're good enough. You'll never make it. And so today, you see the cross, you see that he's not on it. You see the tomb, you realize it's empty. Jesus has been raised. He's been lifted up. He's been exalted. Today, he wants to intercede for you. The question is, will you stop playing games and will you come and you say, Lord, save me as I am? Stop waiting until you think you can be good enough or you can follow enough rules to get saved. You come. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, today, in the matchless name of Jesus, we just bow before your throne of grace and we acknowledge that, Lord, I don't know what it is today, but there's just kind of almost a sense of dread for whatever reason. And I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. Maybe for some reason there's a spiritual battle going on today like never before. And Father, I pray over those who have gathered here who really want to be set free in Christ Jesus, that you'll remove the bondage, the yoke of sin from their lives, that you would allow them to understand that they are free from sin and they are free from bondage to this world if they accept you as their Lord and Savior, if they would confess that sin and trust you to be their Lord and Savior. Father, remove whatever this haze is, whatever it is that's keeping you from moving in someone's heart. Whatever it is, Lord, remove it right now in the name of Jesus, as your word says. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bind Satan, that you bind his demons, that you bind them in the name of Jesus, and that today your spirit would be set free among us, and that we would understand maybe for the very first time what freedom really is. Father, we just come. We ask that forgive us where we fail you. Lord, help us to trust you, and help us to believe that your grace is enough. We ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask that you stand this morning. You stand. And I don't know what it is, guys. I really, really don't. But there's something heavy today. There's something heavy. It's spiritual, I'm telling you. And I may be the only one that can sense it. But this is what I'm telling you. This is what we've got to do, guys. Listen. My prayer warriors, I just need you to come up front right now and start praying. I don't know what it is, but just come and start praying right now, please. Prayer warriors, come and start praying. All of you, because it's real, and I can sense it, and it's the devil, and we know it, and we're not going to allow the devil just... The rest of you, if you don't want to come for whatever reason, please pray where you are. But I'm that guy that believes in God's word, and I believe in spiritual warfare, and there's a battle going on right now for someone or something. And so we're just going to begin. It's invitation time, and thank you guys for coming and praying. The rest of you, pray where you are. And whatever God is leading you to do today, whatever decision you need to make, you come today.